Take out your Bibles and turn to Hebrews, Hebrews 9. If you looked in the bulletin already, you saw the title of it, you saw the outline. I entitled it Second Chances. I could have expanded the title to Why No Second Chances? Why There Are No Second Chances for a Person. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 talks about that. And it talks about things that are done just once, one time. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die," so what does this contradict then? What kind of Far Eastern religion philosophy does this contradict, once to die? Reincarnation, that kind of thing. It's now reincarnation where you die and then you're born again, and you die and then you're born again. No, once to die, but after this what? Judgment. After this judgment. So people only live one life, and then they die. And after that, the next thing after they die is judgment. And then verse 28, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." So in verse 27, we see the word once, because we only die once. In verse 28, you see the word once, because Christ was offered once, because we only die once. Heavenly Father, help me as I preach and teach on this interesting, helpful, convicting, illuminating message. May it really accomplish those things. And may people, Christians, and those, especially those that are not Christians, to realize that once to die, just once. So Father, help me as I preach this morning. May the Lord be honored. May Christians be revived. May lost people be, again, understand they need salvation through Jesus Christ. For it is in the Lord's name we pray and ask it. Amen. Does God give a second chance after a person dies to be saved? Very scriptural. I want to talk why. Why there's no second chances today. First of all, we already mentioned one in Hebrews there. Christ died once. And in chapter number 9 there, verse 27 and 28, it emphasizes the word once. It says that people will just die once. It says that Christ only died once. So if people had a second chance, Christ would have to die a second time if there was a second chance to be saved. But verse 27, 28 there is very, very clear. It says, "And as it appointed unto men once to die," they only die once, "but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." Once offered. There's no second chances to be saved. If you're not saved the first time, in this life that you live right here, you're not going to have a second chance anywhere in the future. Not at the great white throne judgment, not in hell, nowhere. No second chances. That's why this life is so important. Get saved now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. In fact, the Bible even warns about delaying those things. Don't put it off. Get saved right now. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest thing you could ever do. Serving Him. That's why you were created, so you could serve Him. That'll bring the greatest joy into your lives, serving Him. That'll bring the greatest fulfillment in your life, serving Him. That's why we're here. But people die just once. No reincarnation, anything like that. And therefore, Jesus only died once. If people had a second chance, He'd have to die a second time. And the Bible says nothing about that. Another thought here, also in Hebrews, it says, "After death is only judgment." Look at verse 27 again. "And as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Now, don't lose Hebrews, but turn to James. James chapter 2, verse number 13. And I want to show you something here. There's distinctions and there's a division between judgment versus God's mercy and God's grace. Judgment means there's no more mercy or no more grace. If it's judgment, it's judgment. It's the law. No more mercy, no more grace, just law. Now, James chapter 2, verse 13 talks about that. It says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy." Talking about individuals in particular here. "And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." When you're under God's mercy and His grace, you don't worry about being judged. You don't worry about the law. There's a rejoicing in your heart because you know you're saved. You know your sins are forgiven. And you know you'll never come under the law anymore and its punishment. You're saved. You're forgiven. You don't have to worry about those sins. Now, we deal with them as Christians. That's sanctification. That's a whole other subject. But the thing is, after a person dies, there's no more chance for mercy and grace. If you don't get it in this life, you're not going to get it in the next life. Mercy and grace is only for this life. So the law can't save anyone. The law can only condemn. And after a person dies, if they haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in this lifetime, they will never get another chance at God's grace and God's mercy. For by grace I am saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So once a person dies, the only thing that goes with him after that is God's judgment. No more mercy. No more grace. It's only available in this lifetime. Get it right now. In fact, if you haven't got it right already, get it right today. Right now. Don't wait. Don't delay. There's warnings in the Bible about that too. So death after death is only judgment. And the law is not going to save anyone. Another reason there's no second chance is because of the judgment at the great white throne judgment. Because the judgment there is for those who are already guilty and they're just waiting for their sentencing. You know the difference between being judged guilty and being sentenced? You know there's a time lapse between those two? Somebody can be judged guilty, you're guilty, and they're put in jail. But they're not given their final sentence until they stand before the judge a second time, another time. The first time, they're just declared guilty. Then they're put in jail. And then they come before the judge again to find out what their sentence is going to be. Well, it's the same thing biblically. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. See, the judgment, the great white throne judgment, is not to judge somebody whether they're guilty or not. They're all guilty. Everyone who's at the great white throne judgment here is guilty. They are guilty. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 here. Like I said, this is a very serious message, very somber message. But I think it's also a very needed message. If I could scare someone into getting saved, oh, I'd do it. I would do it. But it's more than just being scared and fearful. I will talk about that here in a minute, too. But let's read Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Okay, who is the him there? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them, no good place. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. The dead, small and great. One thing I do at the end of every year, and it's not a good thing, I'm just curious. How many famous people died this previous year? And they have that. You look on the computer, you can find that. Who died this last previous year? And they'll list all the famous people, well-known people, the Hollywood crowd, the sports people. And I think, where are they now? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 49 that they're not famous in hell. No one is. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, because we're just normal, average people here. We're not great. We were not famous and well-known. But the small, too, everyone, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open. Two sets of books here, interesting, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, not judged by those that are in the book of life, written in the books, which is a list of their sins, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. So until this judgment, which is still future, lost people, now they go to hell. They're going to be brought out of hell for that great white throne judgment, then they're going to be placed into the lake of fire. So they are sentenced at that time. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Two sets of books. So interesting. Judgment at the great white throne judgment is not for guilt. They're already guilty, but for sentencing. Guilt is already established for these individuals. So the judgment of the great white throne judgment, everyone's guilty there, but the sentencing is taking place there. Jesus Christ is going to judge every single sinner. Can you imagine that? That's a lot. How many billions of people have lived? How many billions of people never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered their life to Him? How many billions of people is He going to judge? Well, you know something? God's in no hurry. It doesn't matter. Once eternity begins, there is no more time. So the judgment of the great white throne judgment. You don't want to be there only as a spectator. And even being a spectator, and we will see this going on, even that's going to be a difficult thing for the saved and the redeemed too. Judgment of the great white throne judgment. We're not going to be happy about that. When we see God's holiness, we're going to say, amen, He's right. And the tears aren't going to be wiped away from our eyes until a little later on in the book of Revelation talks about that. The tears from the Christians are going to be wiped away after that. After that. Because there's still going to be tears in our eyes. Another reason there's no second chance is because of the word everlasting and what the word everlasting means. Let's look up two references here. One is John chapter 3, verse 16. Do you know John 3, 16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word everlasting is used there. Remember that. Now turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. John 3:16 is everlasting life. This is everlasting fire. Same word, everlasting. Same word, everlasting fire. Everlasting life. Then he goes on and says, prepared for the devil and his angels. Look at verse 46 also here. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting fire. Everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. Eternal life. Everlasting life. The same word everlasting is used with life and it's used with fire and punishment. Everlasting, same word. Friends, if someone had a second chance to be saved, that means that Christians would have a second chance to be lost. Because the same word everlasting is used with life and it's used with fire and punishment. Everlasting. So if you define everlasting, the word everlasting, to mean that there's a still second chance, it's not everlasting. There's a second chance to get out of hell. There's a second chance to get away from His condemnation. Everlasting fire, everlasting punishment. If you can get out of that, there's a second chance. Then there'll be a second chance for you to be lost again too. Because everlasting life then would not be really everlasting. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? That same word everlasting is so important there. See, the same word is used there. If there's a second chance to be saved, then there would also be a second chance to be lost. Everlasting is the same time element. It's the same word. Even in the original languages, it's the same word, everlasting. It's everlasting life or it's everlasting punishment. But the word everlasting means there's no second chances. That's what it means. God's holiness now reigns. The mercy and His graciousness, His love is evident now, is available now. You need to believe on Him. Then also, if there were second chances, that would lessen the importance and emphasis in getting out the gospel and evangelism, because we would think, well, they'll have another chance to be saved. They'll have another chance. Once they're in hell, they'll finally realize that what you're telling them is true, and they need to get out of hell, and they'll have a chance to get out of hell someday, because there will be another second chance. So if you witness to them and they don't believe on the Lord now, don't worry about it. It's not that important. They're going to have another chance. Have you seen those little tracks? They're like a Monopoly guy. It said, get out of hell free. Have you seen those little cards, the little tracks? They're cute. But I'm looking at that card. Looking at that card, it has a little Monopoly guy on it. You know, on Monopoly, you get the card, you'll get out of jail free. Well, they've changed that into kind of a gospel track, says get out of hell free. And I like the card. I really want to use it. I can't. I can't use that card. Why? Because nobody gets out of hell. I'd like to use, I think it's a real cute card too. I know it'd get people's attention, but it's not right. It's not scriptural. Nobody gets out of hell. Once you're there forever. That's why it's so important right now. You need to make the right decision and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, there'd be a lot of people say, well, they're going to have another chance. Why be so determined about preaching to people now? They'll get another chance after death. They'll make their choice then. They'll realize there really is a hell there and God's in control and there really is a God. And then they'll believe after that. But you know the problem with that? It's just going to be an intellectual faith, not a heart faith. They would only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because they didn't want to go to hell. They want to get out of hell for free. They want to get out of hell. They don't want to go back to the place, so they'll believe on Jesus Christ. But their motive will be wrong, and it'll not be a sincere motive because they love the Lord and they repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They just don't want to go back to hell if they had a second chance. They're going to use that second chance to get out of hell. You know what the Bible says they really teaches they would not? If they're going to believe on Jesus Christ and they don't believe on him in this life, they wouldn't believe if they had a second chance. They wouldn't believe if they had a third chance. Why? Because it'd be all self-serving and selfish. They use Jesus Christ just as a means to an end. Not to be worshipped as being Almighty God, just a means to an end. I don't want to go to hell. If I have to believe on Jesus, I'll believe on Jesus because I don't want to go to hell. But that's just using Jesus as a means to an end. That will not get anybody saved. Then, or even now, he's not just a means to an end. He's to be worshipped with all our heart. He desires every breath that we have. He desires all our energies and our talents and abilities to use for his honor and glory. That's the thing, not just so we don't go to hell. How many people have made that mistake in this life too? How many people have made false professions, think I'm going to walk down the church, I don't want to go to hell, I believe what that preacher said about hell, I believe what the Bible says about that, I don't want to go to hell, I'll walk the aisle, I'll kneel down, I'll say that prayer, I'll get baptized. And how many make a false profession because of that? Just because they're scared about going to hell. Now, let me say this. God can use that to get you thinking about it. God can use that fearfulness. He needs to be feared. You need to be scared of going to hell, but you need to go to the next step and find out what real salvation is. Real salvation is not self-serving, so I don't have to go to hell. Real salvation is humbling ourselves before him to serve him and honor him and worship him and love him for the rest of our lives. That's the decision that has to be made. If we'll do that, then we get saved. Amen. See the difference? You understand the difference there? It's not just you're afraid that you don't want to go to hell, but it's because you realize who Jesus Christ is and he deserves every minute of my life. He deserves my affection and my love. God deserves all our energies and our affections and our love. Not just because we don't want to go to hell, so we can worship him and honor him and serve him and obey him and love him. So it would be the wrong motivation. It wouldn't be sincere repentance of sin and faith. It'd be only because they don't want to go to hell. That's it. That's it. Another reason why there's no second chance is because it'd be insincere motive. It also would be where I want to see the chapter and verse in the Bible where it teaches there's a second chance. Where's that chapter? Where's that verse? When I was first saved down there in Key West, Florida, you know the story, and I went to the mission center there, and there were a lot of young Christians there, young military men from the Army. I was the Army, some Marines, few Air Force, and mostly Navy, but there were a lot of young guys who went to the mission center there, and they came up with all kinds of different ideas, and we had that little saying, which I told you about. It was this. When they came up with some kind of weird doctrine or something questionable, let's say, we'd say, chapter and verse, where is that taught in the Bible? Where is that doctrine taught in the Bible? Show me in the Bible where it teaches that doctrine. Chapter and verse. Well, where's the chapter and verse about a second chance? Where does that say that in the Bible? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 kind of limits it right there, doesn't it? It says, as appointed unto man once to die. And after this, no more mercy, no more grace, no more love of God, only judgment. Judgment. The thing that scares me the most is, what if I personally, me, your pastor now, as when I was a young man, and I was debating and thinking about this issue, what if I would not have believed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the scariest thought I've ever had. What if I had not listened? What if I had ignored those things and the people that are witnessing to me and give me tracts? What if I would just ignored that? What if I would not picked up the Bible and started thinking about these things and came under conviction? What if I would be lost today? Where would I be today if I hadn't gotten saved? That is the scariest thought I've ever had. What if I had not listened? I'm so glad I listened. I'm so glad I believed it. I was reading the Bible, as you know, chapter after chapter, even book after book in the Old Testament. You know my story. And then I picked up that tract and read the tract, and there was a prayer for salvation. I prayed that prayer there. I read it through, first of all, and I prayed it through, meaning it sincerely. God gave me a new birth. He gave me a brand new nature. I was born again. Born again. What if I hadn't listened? There's no second chances, friend. Because if people were given a second chance, and they didn't accept him on the second chance, didn't give him a third chance. And if they wouldn't believe him on the third chance, didn't give him a fourth chance. Where does it end? The problem is, if people don't accept him now in this life, they would not accept him if they had a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance. Do you really believe it's as bad as the Lord said it would be? Christians will say, yes. People who aren't Christians would say, it's not that important. I'll wait and see. How long are they going to wait? As an appointed to man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let me give you a good chapter and verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's chapter and verse 2. The mercy of God is available today. The grace of God is available today. The forgiveness of God is available today. The love of God is available today. The Word of God is available today. React the right way. No, there's no getting out of hell free. It's eternal. There's no second chances, but the chance is now, and you have it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word that blesses, but also, Lord, warns us. And your warnings are out of a heart of love for us. Jesus died for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And won't have to face everlasting fire or everlasting punishment, but have everlasting life. Lord, help people make the decision today. This is the only time in eternity. Hebrews 9:27 is there. And as it appointed man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But thank you for your graciousness and your love and your mercy and the Holy Spirit of God that convicts our hearts and helps us to understand these things. Now bless the invitation time, please. May spiritual needs be met. May people be willing to pray about these, especially if someone this morning wants to be saved and needs to be saved. May they walk the aisle, humble themselves this morning, call out to you for your forgiveness. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray and ask it. Amen.